Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007.
A reading from the first book of Kings. The Lord said to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you." Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you." Elijah answered, "Go back. Have I done anything to you?" Elisha left him, and taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh and gave it to his people to eat. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendant. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, "My Lord are you, O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup. You it is who hold fast my lot.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body, too, abides in confidence. Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
You will show me the path to life, fullness and joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters. But do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say, then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, But first, let me say farewell to my family at home. To him, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you for joining us this week. We have some great readings this week, especially in light of the fact that, Father Mark, this is going to be your first weekend in your new parish and the first time as pastor. And so I wondered, what do you think about these readings with that in light?
Well, the gospel reading, especially where Jesus says to one of his followers, you know, follow me, and kind of hearing that same voice in my own life of Jesus saying that. And so, but I can understand the followers there in the gospel reading who are coming up with all kinds of excuses as to maybe why they should delay the following, you know. Mm-hmm. So I can see, I can understand that, you know, because this is going to be my first time transitioning from here at St. Mary's over to St. Michael's and becoming the pastor over there. So life is going to be very different for me, and there's a lot of unknowns and certainly not a lot of clarity in all of this. And to be able to or have to say yes to this is frightening, and a lot of unknowns out there. But ultimately, I guess, being able to trust in God and trust in the call that's being asked upon me at this time. I often think that, you know, when the bishop called me that day to ask me if I would be pastor of St. Michael's, I really literally had like 2 seconds to respond to him. And it was, you know, yes, I will. And I really didn't have time to think about it. And I can't imagine, you know, trying to say to the bishop on the phone, well, you know, let me go think about this and pray for it, you know, pray over it for a while, and I'll get back to you in a couple of days. You know, and I think, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier, but there is that element of prayer, but that's been ongoing in this process. You know, mm-hmm. When I applied to the diocese to, you know, ask them to consider me for a couple of different places in the diocese. And also the bishop is a very prayerful man too. And so knowing that he's not calling me on a whim, he's calling me with a well-thought-out, prayed-out kind of decision, asking me to do this. And so trusting in that element of the Spirit in this decision too. So I could certainly try to come up with excuses as to why I need time to think about this or why I should delay it. But ultimately, you know, I did say yes to him on the phone. And I trust that what's being asked of me is a good thing. And that do I know what's going to happen in the future? No, I don't. But do I trust that what is ultimately being asked to me is probably the right thing for me to do? Yes, I do. I believe that God is asking me to kind of step up to the plate here and to be a leader in the church. So, yeah, all kinds of emotions going on at this point. Maybe wanting to say, you know, some kind of an excuse. But really, no. I'm ready to do this, and I go forward with all of the emotions and feelings and you know, anxieties that I may have, but also with the joys and the excitement about it. That there's going to be a lot of wonderful people out there waiting for me, and that there's a lot of exciting things that are going to happen because I've had a wonderful experience here at St. Mary's for 4 years.
Well, I got to thinking when you were just talking. This isn't the first time, obviously, that God has called you, because he calls each one of us every day. But specifically for you, many people probably don't know, but you had a life, before you had answered your vocation call, you were working for a hospital in doing accounting type things, and so you're getting these calls a lot.
Yeah, I remember when I left the hospital, it was so funny because I had planned everything out. I knew the day that I was going to be leaving the hospital, and I had owned a house at the time, and I was selling my house. And so the house was sold, at least I thought, and it was going to kind of, we were going to close on the house on the day that I was leaving at the hospital. And so I left the hospital on December 23rd in 1996, and I went up to see my real estate agent to find out what was going on with the house. And he told me that the whole deal had fallen through because the person who was going to get financing for the house couldn't get the loan. And so everything had kind of fallen apart, you know. So talk about a leap of faith at that point, because I've already left the hospital. I don't have an income anymore. And now I'm still going to have a mortgage and a car payment and insurance payments and loans and not knowing what to do. But it certainly was a leap of faith for me at that point. And I had to learn to trust in God and other people that were around me, you know, family and friends who were supporting me. And it was a great lesson for me to learn. One of the big lessons I learned was that I wasn't this kind of island operating on my own, that I was immersed in a community of people and into a family who were loving me and wanting to support me in this. And so it gave them an opportunity to show that support. And I think it was, you know, a lesson that God wanted me to learn about how important it is to stay connected to people and how we can help one another along the way. And that's what it was. And I think the same thing is here, you know, because sometimes my mindset has been, when I go to St. Michael's, that it'll be very lonely. I won't know anybody. I have to make all the decisions, you know, and I'll be doing all this on my own. And I have to call myself back to that to say, no, this is not the case, that I'm being immersed into a community that already exists. Right. And it's a community that's rooted in, you know, the Eucharist and the gospel and the love of God. And I'm going to immerse myself into that. And I will add to it what I can, whatever God is calling me to do, you know, in this community.
Well, I think it's important that we point out in this readings, while they certainly talk about vocations to religious life and lay church ministries, they also point to everyone's vocation in life. God may call you to married life, and so it's a matter of not just for, you know, when it's convenient that I'll be nice and kind to my spouse and walk the journey, but it's a matter of every day you have to follow. You follow God by being faithful and taking part in your married life. And so I think it's important that we point that out.
Right. I mean, Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God. And each one of us as baptized Christians are helping in that mission of ushering in the kingdom of God. And I think that, you know, that really needs to be first and foremost in our life. You know, that we're helping with that mission that Christ inaugurated. And how are we helping in that mission? You know, because we can come up with all kinds of reasons as to maybe why we shouldn't do this or that. Or, you know, when we do our discernment for anything in life, you know, whether it be called to married life or single life or to be an accountant or to be a doctor or to be a teacher or to work at Walmart, you know, really it should be, how is this really being part of my call to further the kingdom of God?
Exactly. And one of my favorite lines in this gospel passage was Jesus when he said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." And you can almost have that image in your mind, because if you're plowing something, you have your hand on the plow. If you look over your shoulder, you're going to actually turn the plow a little bit and you will go off course. And so if you're constantly looking behind you and saying, "Oh, I wish I did that better. If I wish I did this better, or isn't that horrible that happened?" And you can't live in the present moment. So it's good to reflect on what has happened and learn from it, but you can't dwell in the past and dwell on what you wish could have happened.
I think that you know, it calls us to be almost like in two places at the same time. You know, I'm looking at that first line from the gospel about how Jesus, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. So he's really facing himself in that direction. Yeah. That's his goal. Jerusalem is his goal. Yet staying in the present moment, too, you know, and somehow being able to understand that there is a goal in the future, but that the goal is also in the present moment. And how do we stay in that moment, you know, without having to look to the past all the time, you know? And like you're saying, you know, if you have, like when you're riding a bike, if you're riding a bike and all of a sudden you look over your right shoulder, all of a sudden the bike starts going to the right, you know, and you're taking off that path and really not going towards the direction that you were originally going towards. So how do we keep ourselves focused on, you know, we know that our goal is Jerusalem and our goal is the kingdom of God. How do we keep that also in the present moment so that we are always immersed in that discernment of, okay, if I'm called to be part of this mission of building up the kingdom, how is what I'm immersed in this present moment calling me to be part of that kingdom, whatever that may be, you know, a relationship or a decision?
And with that thought, I think we'll end for this week. We thank you for joining us, and we invite you to come back next week. Have a great week, and God bless.